Good evening, everybody. We are now approaching Parshas
Vayigash.
What happens in Parshas Vayigash? We know that Yaakov is made aware of the fact that his son Yosef is alive, and he goes down to Eretz Yisrael. He leaves Eretz Yisrael, rather, and he goes down to Mitzrayim. So last year, Parshas Vayigash, we gave the shiur on, is it mutter to leave Eretz Yisrael? Generally try not to do that too often. So let's start with that, and then we're going to bridge into kind of like a, not a flip side, but kind of give credit to those who are Moshe Nefesh to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe we'll have more of a Zionistic spin on those who go to Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that it's a tough matzav there for them financially, or even there might be some danger. And we'll try to cheer on our holy Achenu B'nai Yisrael of Eretz Yisrael this evening. All right, sound like a plan? All right, so we know Vayomer Elokim L'Yisrael B'maros Halayla, so Hashem appears to Yaakov Avinu, Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni, here I am. Now the Tzror Hamor quotes a Midrash that when Yaakov Avinu said Hineni, the Midrash which I cannot locate, but it's quoted in the Tzror Hamor, Yaakov Avinu meant Hineni, I'm here. Leirad, hineni shelo leirad. Hashem, you want me to go down? I'll go down. You don't want me to go to Mitzrayim? I won't go down. Hineni lishibud, hineni ligula. Hashem, if your plan is for me to go down to Mitzrayim and our people need to become slaves, that's whatever it is. You want to redeem us? Meaning, Yaakov Avinu put himself in neutral. Whatever you want, Hashem, I'm going to do. Now, you have to realize the severity of that. Tzror Hamor, what was Yaakov willing to give up? Not seeing his son Yosef, despite having not seen him for 22 years. And Hashem says, okay, Yaakov, I have a message for you. And Yaakov says, Hineini, Hashem, if you don't want me to go see Yosef, I'm not going to go. Wow. Wow. Wild. So that's what the Tzror Hamor is saying, certainly between the lines over there, according to the Midrash. And Hashem appears to Yaakov and he says, Vayomer Nochi Akel, Eloke Avich Altira Merida Mitzrayma. Don't be afraid of going down. Kilagoy Gadol Asim Hashem. Don't worry, everything will work out. I will make you into a great nation in Mitzrayim. Anochi Eved Imcha. I will even go down with you to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim Vanochi Alcha Gam Alo. I will take you out of there. V'Yosef Yashis Yado Alinach. You're going to go greet Yosef. He's going to place his hand on your eyes, interestingly. But Yaakov was afraid to leave Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, why did Hashem need to reassure Yaakov? Al tira, don't be afraid from going down to Mitzrayim. Says Rashi, lefishaya meitzar, Yaakov was distressed. Al shenizgak leitzeis lechutz la'aretz. Yaakov was distressed about the fact that he needed to leave to outside of Eretz Yisrael. It bothered him that this is where history was taking him. He sensed that things were wrong. There's something off here. If I need to leave Eretz Yisrael, that means something's off here. So the Tzror Hamor, again, comments that, listen, Hashem appears to Yaakov, and he doesn't refer to him as Yisrael. Interesting. Why would Hashem not appear to him as Yisrael? Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni. So why would Hashem appear to him in the name Yaakov, as opposed to Yisrael? Says the Tzror Hamor, because he was going from Galus. La'avdus u'le'inoi, lo karu Yisrael. So I guess Yisrael is more of a positive spin, a more exalted name. And since Yaakov was on the way down to the beginning of the exile, he's only referred to as Yaakov as opposed to Yisrael. So essentially we're talking about the beginning of the end. Right? We know that this is the beginning of the exile. Yaakov will go down and it won't be a pretty picture.
Yeah,
very good. Very good. So there's a big Orachaim here, a few big Orachaim, right? All about, everyone knew that Avraham had been promised in the Bris Ben Absarim, right? So the question was like, is this the beginning of the doom? Like, when you go on a roller coaster, there's usually an exit opportunity. You know, if you don't actually want to go on the ride and you want to chicken out, you can kind of like take the stairwell. I don't know if any of you ever been on that stairwell, where you chicken out last minute after waiting for 5 days, get onto a roller coaster, and you go on the stairwell, chickening out. There's such a concept. So I didn't do the whole Orachai, but yeah, 100%. Meaning the Hashem's commandment to go down or not be afraid is certainly seen in light of the Bris Ben Abisam, 100%, right? And they knew it was coming. You could certainly argue that's what Yaakov was afraid of. And similarly, the Zoramor is saying, right, that Yaakov knew what was going on, and therefore he said, I'm happy not to go down. And I'm happy to go down. If you want Shibud, if you want us to be Avadim, I'll go. Meaning, Yaakov really, according to the Zoramor, just put himself in neutral. Hashem, whichever way, you, for whatever reason you want, I'm happy to go. Stay, leave, Shibud, to be free, to be a slave, whatever you want. So I remember growing up always thinking, like, I can't believe that they didn't just, like, have Yosef come up to Eretz Yisrael. Like, they fell for it. It was, like just like that. Like, you know, it was just like that, really. So what halachic principle justifies this leaving of Eretz Yisrael? Where do we say in halacha this exact thing, that we're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for what heter? Oh, so says Dr. Karp. It's a famine. It's one of the exceptions. This is the Rambam Hilchos Malachim Perek Hey. Halacha Nebivav, Halacha Gimel. I didn't write which halacha it is. Let me quickly point out that we are in the Rambam Hilchos Malachim Perek Hey, Halacha Tes. So what is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael ever? Allah, here are the exceptions. Number one, Lilmod Torah. Okay, so let's say you want to steig in the YU based medrash and you feel like there's something there, you can do that. O Lisa Isha for marriage purposes. O Lahat Salmina Akum. Or, you know, you're in danger. But here's the key. V'yachzor la'aretz. This is only temporary. You have to go back to Eretz Yisrael eventually. V'chein similarly, yotzehu l'schora. For financial gain, you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's only for short term. When is it mutter to genuinely leave Eretz Yisrael? A one-way ticket to live outside of Israel? Even though you have been living in Israel? Aval lishkon. B'chutzlaretz aser. That's always forbidden. And now, what are the exceptions? It's not so simple just for a shidduch or for a job. Elim kein chazak sham hara'av. There it is. Black and white on the Rambam. If there's such a severe famine in Israel, achenasa shava dinar chitin b'shnei dinu. So if the value of wheat has gone up to double the price, then you can leave Eretz Israel to live in chutzlaretz. And says the Rambam, this is only talking about where what? Where you have money and the food is ridiculously expensive. But in contrast, let's say the food was actually not so expensive, but you don't have any money, your mamish down to pennies, yetze l'chol makum shi'im sebo revach, then you're allowed to leave. So even though the Rambam before said, yotze hu l'schora, meaning for a small financial gain, you can only leave Eretz Yisrael seemingly temporarily. But if you're literally not making ends meet in Israel, then yetze l'chol makom shayim tzeba revach, you're allowed to leave Israel. Meaning, if you're literally not making a living in Israel, there's no mitzvah to live poor in a dangerous way in Israel. So, all right, very nice. So ad kan, almost like the chazara from last year, where the psukim, the storyline in Parshas Vayigash, is very similar to a halacha on the books, that if there's a famine, you can leave Eretz Yisrael even permanently, right? Meaning that was in the category of when you don't have to go only for a short time, meaning if it's a ra'av, lishkon b'chutz la'aretz, you can even live in chutz la'aretz, lishkon. Now it is true, the Rambam says that it's a midas chasidus to not leave Eretz Yisrael, even when it's permissible to leave, because which biblical characters were killed for leaving Eretz Yisrael? Machlon and Kilion, Shnei Gedolei Ador Hayu Umipnei Tzara HaGdola Yatru. They did leave Eretz Yisrael because of a famine. And what happened to them? Veneschayvu Kli El Makom. Scratch our heads on this one. Hey, really, it's totally mutter. Totally mutter to leave if there's a famine. But by the way, Machlon and Kilion died. There's a little bit of a curveball here. Ah, very good. Very good.
There was no door.
So you're really asking a kasha. So number one, Adam already answers one question. Why were Machlon and Kilion sentenced to death over a halacha that they did not violate? So you could argue that what? That they were the Gedolei Hador, they had a higher standard. Oh. What about Yaakov Avinu? He was the Gedolei Hador, so to speak. So you want to argue there's no such thing yet as a Gedolei Hador.
There was no nation.
Right, we weren't yet there. Right, very good, very good. And seemingly also the difference is that Yaakov is being summoned, meaning no one in the case of Machlon and Kiliam was offering, you know, Goshen with a sweet-based medrash and, you know, three meals a day. I mean, Yaakov Avinu, it was a no-brainer. It was like, come to Mitzrayim and you'll be taken care of not only in Goshnis, but in Ruchnis, meaning, you know, you're going to have, Yehuda, you know, goes to set up the base medrash, like, you'll be fine, like on a spiritual level. But despite this hetzer, we know in the actual Torah, Yaakov is distressed about this. He is distressed. So I want to use this as a springboard for when do we say it's okay to be a little crazy and risk it? Meaning, okay, so safety first, right? There's a famine. You don't take risk with your life, do you? Is it mutter to be a contractor? Is it a mutter to paint high-level stories, window washers? Okay, so now, who here has a dangerous job? Anyone have a dangerous job?
During COVID.
During COVID?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Fox News, there's a reason you were featured on television, sir. That's right. We've only been joking about this for a year and a half. Now we can be serious about it. Adam was featured for putting himself on the line. Now, who else, you know, there are many people who have, let's say, less maybe dignified professions, but maybe more dangerous professions. People, I don't know, who build really tall buildings. Like, you know, I don't know, Rahman al-Assad. Yes, gosh, it's not, right? I don't know how many casualties, I don't know how often they publicize such things, but pashtus is that, you know, there are people who risk their lives to do some pretty basic things, like, you know, building highways or train, you know, railroad tracks, you know, they're not always the safest jobs. So, you know, dealing with high voltage electricity, I don't know, but it's on the books. Gemara Bava Metzia Kufya Beis Amaral. Here it is. It's a braisa. Ve'elav hu noses nafsha. The Torah says, right, that you got to pay your workers on time because the person's waiting for his payment, right? Right? If you have something that belongs to somebody else, you can't be stingy, meaning people are waiting for their property back or their earned wages. Mipnei ma olazu bekevesh. Why is this guy climbing a ramp? Or v'nistla be'ilan. Why is this guy hanging on a tree? U'masar's atzma lemisa. Why are these guys risking their lives? Lo al scharo. Is it not just to earn their wages? So here all of a sudden, we're seeing like this. Wait a minute. If your life is at stake, you can leave Eretz Yisrael. But wait a minute. You're even allowed to put your life at risk to make money. So why don't we say, whoa, stay in Israel. And in the same way that you're allowed to risk your life in your profession, because as it is, your job is dangerous, stick it out in Israel. It's dangerous. Making money is dangerous. What do you think? Good question or not a good question? Oh, yeah, what's different?
Hashem gave you a certain talent, so you're using that talent in a certain way.
So very good.
You could say it's dangerous, but for that person, that's his livelihood.
Right, so says Shlomo, seemingly, one's B'derech HaTeva.
Yeah.
Well, not B'derech HaTeva, meaning B'derech HaTeva, people paint. Some happen to be the 100th floor of a skyscraper. Yeah, and that's like a thing. People climb trees to build telephone wires, whatever, and like they go on very tall ladders, and like, it's a doer, they can fall. And like, but like they're in good company with all the other chevra in their profession. In contrast, you'd be crazy not to leave Israel, because what? Everyone else is doing it. Meaning, B'derech HaTeva, you don't...
So clear, what people would consider to be reasonable, that's
not
to do it. If it wouldn't be reasonable, you couldn't do it.
Very good. So let's play into what we're saying first, and then we'll turn it on its head, and we'll kind of be the devil's advocate, and we'll be a little bit more, not only Tzioni, we'll be a little bit, you know, extreme tonight. And we'll try to, again, just to paint a picture. Not we're going to paskin like it, but sometimes there are extreme views that are not recognized as being valid to any degree. And sometimes there are extreme views that deserve a bit of recognition, meaning there's an element of truth. You know, some extremists are so extreme that it's like a zero. Some extremists are extreme, but like, they're not zero. They deserve like a B minus. Such a concept. Or like a C plus extremist. We have to kind of figure out where this falls. Oh, here we go. So the note of Yehuda Lando, the unbelievable Gadol, right? In the 1700s, right? 1800s, 17th to 1800s. I forget exactly his dates, but in the 1700s. Rabbi Cheska Landau. So he wrote the Tzlach on Shas. The Noda Yehuda are Silas Vetshuvos. And he's also less known for his work on the Daf. What's his Daf work? He wrote the Mesoros HaShas, no? Did I make that up? No, there's another one. What else did he write? That's on the page. The Dalga Mevava and the Shulchan Aruch. I'm getting confused. Yeah, the Dalga Mevava. The Dalga Mevava and the page of Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. I think I made that up in the source of Shas. Okay, so yeah, the Dalga Mavavi definitely. Okay, so there's a good story about him also in a children's book called one of the Pesach children books. It's very good. What's that Pesach story? Ooh, it's very good. It's like the best children's book for kids on Pesach. Ooh, I forgot the name of it. It's Feldheim, it's old school. So there's a great story about the Yecheskel Landau saves his town from the bakers, which had to poison the Jewish bread on Motzei Pesach. Wow. Okay. There's Ayin Shem in the children's book, whose name I don't remember. Okay. But says Yecheskel Landau, there's a shaila about a hunter. There's a famous tshuva where he rants and says, I don't think hunting is really okay as it is. But that was more of like an aside that's made the tshuva more famous because he has a rant on, I can't believe people just like gain pleasure from killing animals, but that is a different discussion. Hunting in halacha, that's not this evening's discussion. But the famous hunting shaila that the Yehuda deals with is in a larger shaila where someone actually had a lot of land. Hashem gave him a nachala rechava with a lot of land and forests with many wild animals. And this individual asked the Yehuda, am I allowed to go there alone to hunt animals? Or maybe it's inappropriate. So this is the shaila about hunting. Good. So he first discusses the issur of hunting, maybe tzar balei chayim, bal tashchis, things along those lines. And he says, it's not appropriate. It's not like a Jewish midah to like enjoy your afternoon by killing animals for recreation. That's not like a thing. You know, my footnote on that tshuva is that like paintball is the same thing. Like, you know, a good, like, you know, if Eitan wants to have a bar mitzvah party, paintballing, let's just give each other black and blue marks. Not my cup of tea. I'm not saying I wouldn't give him a bar mitzvah present, but like, I would be a little bit less excited. Yeah. Like, it's not, you know, I wouldn't recommend it. Whatever, it's my mesorah. All right, so now he then says that it's an isser. Mamish an isser, why? He says, do you know what happens when you go into a forest to hunt animals? You put your life in danger. You can't put your life in danger. You know what Esav said to Yaakov Avinu? He said, I'm going to die. You know how remember when Yaakov Avinu wanted to sell Esav the birthright? Esav's response was, Anochi holech lamavis. And the Ramban's pshat on that is that I'm a hunter. I'll probably die young anyway. Pashup pshat is that people who hunt die. That's a pashup pshat. If you deal with wild animals in that level of wilderness, that's what clearly you're going to come home that night. So it says in Naib Yehuda, Esav didn't feel confident. He was like the best hunter out there. So who are you to be better than Esav? An Ish Yehudi? L'makom gdu dechayos rose? No. But then he says, okay, but you'll tell me it's what for my parnasa. Oh, my parnasa. Now we're back to the story. Let's say you need to do it. And didn't the Torah already tell us that you're allowed to put your life in danger to paint windows? You're allowed to climb high trees to, So he says, Kosokhwe Yamin, people who do merchandise, they sell over the seas. That's pretty dangerous to go traveling like that. Ain Breira, they have no choice. If your job is to go on a voyage to sell whatever, and you have to go in a dangerous boat ride. So the Torah says, Ve'elav hu noses nafsho. Like literally, you look up knowing that your life is in your paycheck's hands. So it's just the way that Hashem built the world. That yes, it's true that sometimes your life is put in danger to make money. But here, what's your intention? Sport. You want to put your life in danger to catch a fox for a good hunt. That's not the Torah's hashkafa. So someone, though, who needs to make a living, the Gemara already says there's a special tefillah to say when you have to go into a dangerous place. But someone who does it for sport, you can't say that prayer. Hashem's not going to answer you. Imagine putting yourself in danger for recreation and then saying, Hashem, please save me. Hashem is going to say, what are you doing? Why did you put yourself in that situation? It's a midah maguna, and it's also usur. So again, at first, the part we did not learn this evening was the rant he goes on about how it's inappropriate. It's not a Jewish midah to go hunting. But then he says it's also usur, halachically, don't do this. Okay, so now let's come full swing. We just said, like we all predicted, so you're allowed to what? Be moser nefesh for parnasa. So what if Yaakov Avinu would have stayed in Eretz Yisrael and said, listen, I'll be moser nefesh for my parnasa. Someone's going to ship food and like, you kind of wait it out. You wait it out in the same, you know, but so Shlomo, you still stand by your answer that it still would be maybe reckless to leave Eretz Yisrael. Still, it's not the same. Sabbateva. Okay, so let's get a little crazy now. What would be the svara to say that it's okay to be a little crazier? What would be the svara to say such a thing? Maybe there could be an exception to Eretz Yisrael. Very good. So there it is. So we have a halacha on the books that, you know, Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, we'll just skip to the punchline. That if you have a couple, and that we gave a shir about this topic on Yom HaAtzmaut, where if one member of the marriage wants to go to Eretz Yisrael and the other one doesn't, so the one who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael can force the other to go to Eretz Yisrael at the expense of the party's ksuba. So let's say my wife does not want to make aliyah, and I do. So halachically speaking, I'm allowed to make aliyah without her consent and give her a get, and I do not have to pay the ksuba fine. I don't have to do such a thing. Okay, when does that apply? Says the Shulchan Aruch, that whole thing, Yesh Mishomer, the Kofin, all the Zarets, when can I force, or when can one force their spouse to make an aliyah? That's without a sakana. That's when it's safe to go to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, what? If there's a sakana, you can't force, right? You can't force. Right? And the Shulchan Aruch gives interesting geographic locations. From this place, there is a sakana. From that place, there's no sakana. Okay, very logical, right? You can't force your wife to what? To make aliyah. So guess what happened? Reuven asked the Mabit, one of the Gdolei Achronim. He said, my wife doesn't want to make aliyah. So can I paskin like the Shulchan Aruch? Meaning, does this halakha apply nowadays? Says the Mabit, well, what's going on? Is there danger or not danger? So let's look at it. He says, well, if you have to travel through very dangerous lands where Jews are not safe or there's a war or whatever, you can't force your wife to go there. And what is the litmus test? What's the litmus test where you can ascertain whether or not there is a danger or not? You know what he says? People who need to make money. The sochrim. The people who sell merchandise, are they traveling or not? Wow. If the people who need to make money are doing it, so then objectively you can't call it a sakana. Because this guy needs to sell fidget spinners or whatever, sneakers in Israel. And somehow he found out a healthy, safe way to get there, to sell American sneakers in Tel Aviv. He figured it out. So if he figured it out, you can figure it out. Whoa. So what we just learned is that actually money sets the tone. He says, if the drachm are so dangerous that people who need to make money don't take it, okay, that's legit. But there's a tremendous mussar hiding between the lions and the ma'bit, that people will find a way to make a living. Right? When you need to get a paycheck, you'll figure it out, right? And what's the greatest example of this? There's a great, whatever, I'm not going into secular details, but who's always putting themselves in danger somehow? Newscasters. You know, like the people who are most are nefesh, and unfortunately have been casualties, right? People have been kidnapped, you know, over the years. People who work for broadcasting, television companies, for news, they're really dangerous jobs. You know, when you see on TV bombings, I mean, someone's there filming, right? You know, so what's... Yeah. Yeah, well, he was the Pakistan Jew, the Shema Yisrael, and he was really sad. Yeah, that's a crazy story. Yeah, I read his story on Tisha B'av. I went out of my way to really read about him on Tisha B'av one year, just to kind of connect to his story. But what's the pshat with that? So do we say that all those newscasters are reckless, and they should not therefore dictate the tone for the halakha, or do we say, listen, that's normal. That's a job.
Maybe they can, maybe they have to put it up as well. But a normal person wouldn't be as reckless as they
are. Right.
That's their
personal. Yeah. Very good. Very good. So, on Yom Ha'atzmaut, I had to make a mistake. Hashem gave me a bracha. Mendy is a good. Yeah, Mendy. That's good. I didn't realize what you were saying, by the way, on Shabbos when you pointed that out to me. About people, whatever. I was like in a different, but that was big, you know, big observation by Dr. Karp over there. So Mendy runs Netep, and he asked me to give a shiur on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So I gave a shiur on a similar topic of how calculated should Aliyah be. I gave like two sides, like people who are very level-headed, who only make Aliyah if they have kind of like their parnasa lined up. And then I give the other side of like, don't be too calculated, else you never go. And like, Rav Kook is like, don't think, just go. Rav Soloveitchik, same way. Just don't be too calculated, just go. And guess what happened? After I gave the shiur, all the Americans were like, wow, great shiur. And all the Israelis, like, you idiot, just go. It was amazing feedback, right? So the shiur of Baruch Hashem happened to have been well received, you know, a little popular. It was sent around a lot. People listened to it. And all my friends who made Aliyah were like, that's not a hard question. You kind of just do it. You don't think. I only had one friend who was an exception. He had made Aliyah, and he actually said, I really appreciate the American view of like, maybe it's not as simple as we think sometimes. Now, why did I like that guy? Because let's just say, you know, not everyone pays their own bills. So if someone is being supported and they're not as sympathetic to people who need to pay their own bills, so he reached out and said, I get it. I kind of get it now. He kind of like, I'm understood. You know, whatever. You know, they're going too many details. But what's the point? Exactly what everyone here just said. But like, you know, not everyone has the same passion to go into Eretz Yisrael. So you know what? Says the Me'il Tzedakah. Says the Me'il Tzedakah. By the way, I have a good friend. Another Daniel Rodler called me when I quoted this Me'il Tzedakah the first time that year. He called me just to thank me for teaching him this Me'il Tzedakah. Wow, he called me right to Israel. Another exception. He made Aliyah. He said, Yoni, that Me'il Tzedakah was unbelievable. He said, give special to my friend Daniel Rodler. So what's the Me'il Tzedakah say? He says, you know what? You can't force your wife to make Aliyah if it's a tzakana. But you know what you are allowed to do? You're still allowed to go. Aval harotze ba'atzmo linsoa ein mochin biado. You know why? Ki libo shalem. His heart is pure. Batuach b'Hashem sheshomer mitzvah lo yada davar ra. We have a concept. I mean, if you feel like that Hashem wants me to go there, Hashem does not punish people doing mitzvahs. Someone whose heart is driving him to Israel, despite the challenges, despite the actual sakana, he can go. Now, who disagrees with this Mustaka? Everybody else. So I'm going to, and even the Mustaka is not possible. He, in a longer tshuva, about other things, which is what my friend Daniel Riley called me, that he really liked it, a whole lengthy tshuva. But there's two lines in the middle of the stucco where he does write that, G'dole HaMachabrim write. Now, in front of me, I have a sefer by one of the former Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Chalavim, Rav Avram Moshe Avidan. He was Rosh Yeshiva when my brother Michael, I think, was in Chalavim. And my wife's family, big Chalavim people, my wife's grandfather, Shalom, was not the president of the board, but like an executive board member, so to speak. And let's just say we got some nice perks of like free Chalavim's farm over the years. So my wife's uncle actually donated the publication of this sefer, Shmiras HaNefesh Kehochasu. So Rav Avidan wrote a whole sefer about when you can put your life at risk and medical ethic issues, stuff like that. So in there, he has a chapter about risking your life for Eretz Yisrael, right? And you have it's a fascinating sefer, underrated sefer, brilliant sefer. And in that sefer, he quotes the Miltzaka, and in the footnote, he writes, but no one agrees with the Miltzaka, and he says, he writes, there's another sefer that came out that's extreme, that paskins like the Miltzaka, that, oh, you can endanger your life to make aliyah, and that other sefer tries to prove that the Shulchan Aruch paskins like that way, and Rabbi Bidan says, I'm specifically coming to combat that sefer. In a footnote, he writes all that, but this is the one line, where the Mil Tzedaka does say that you, if you want to make aliyah, it's okay, even if it's mamish a risk. You can make aliyah. Now, that's not the traditional view. Traditional view is that you can make aliyah if it's a normal risk, but not a high-level risk. You can't put your life in danger, but listen, getting on a plane is a risk. Getting on a boat is always a risk, but that's a normal risk. To take a high risk is usually viewed as usur, but the Mil Tzedaka says there are those who allow it. Wow, if you're really gung-ho, unreal, right? So what's the point of this evening's shiur? We need to appreciate those who are most in nefesh for Eretz Yisrael. It's Motzei Chanukah right now. And Klal Yisrael was attacked, spiritually and physically. And the Chashmonaim took a stand. Yehuda HaMakabi, we're not going to let the Beis HaMikdash fall into impure hands. We're going to fight back. And even though the walls were breached, they fixed it up. And in a week from tomorrow, we plan on mourning the breaching of the walls on Asar B'Tevis. And that means that if we're not extra careful, Eretz Yisrael will fall. Eretz Yisrael's walls will be breached. People are always trying to take away our land, prevent us from building, even land that we've won in a war. We have to apologetically build on. I don't know all the details about these new settlements, but, 1967, the conclusion of that war, I don't know why we have to have so much permission from the world to build on land that we've conquered. Am I wrong? Am I getting my facts wrong here? That these new settlements are so controversial, but what is the deal? If we do it, people are going to get upset about it, right? Is that what's going on right now? Am I always following the settlements? Lapid needs to justify to America why it's okay to build over there. All these settlements that America is trying to stop us from building. Meaning, if we're not extra careful, the walls will be breached. And I have friends who have gone on Aliyah, some of them with their American jobs, some of them without American jobs, some of them more high risk, some of them low risk. But there's so many Israelis just holding up those borders, holding up those walls, and preventing the breaches. And it's a time to give them a shout out. Remember in Shalavim, we went on a Shabbaton to Kibbutz Yated. Yated is a peg. Because they had their pegs and their tents. All of them were displaced from Gush Katif. There's an entire yeshuv of people who were kicked out of their homes. Kibbutz Yated. You would never know. Happiest people in the world. Yeshivos and wonderful kids. They collateral built. They don't let a government knock them down. So Yaakov Avinu was pretty nervous to leave Eretz Yisrael. They'll say, "Whoa, what was he so nervous about?" You know what happens if you leave Eretz Yisrael? Someone else is going to take it. Someone's going to take it. Sounds like you can get it back. So Hashem says, "No, I promise you, you'll return." The walls won't be breached this time. Meaning, we'll get it back. The land will be taken back. And, you know, people greater than myself have pointed out that why are you moser nefesh for money, but not the same degree of mesiras nefesh for mitzvot? You know, that's the ultimate muser from Eretz Yisrael towards Americans. You know, are you putting your mesiras nefesh for money more than your mesiras nefesh for Eretz Yisrael? So the answer is, well, again, halachically speaking, there's a very clear argument there, meaning there's a normal mesiras nefesh for money, and I wouldn't be able to make a living in Israel. That's a very valid response, right? But there are people who are mesiras nefesh for Eretz Yisrael, despite the fact that they also suffer financially because of it. And they live very modest lifestyles. So I guess the question we always need to ask ourselves, are we being as courageous as the Maccabim? Are we letting the breaches happen? Are we standing up for what's right? We should all be zochet take chizik from the leaders of Eretz Yisrael, from the modern day Chashmonaim, those who are holding up Modi'in, and all the other settlements of Eretz Yisrael, and we should continue being moser nefesh to the highest degrees possible for the Ribbono Shel Olam. All right, my friends.